From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 1. I sought him, but I found him not. Tell me where you lost the company of Christ, and I will tell you the most likely place to find him. Have you lost Christ in the closet by restraining prayer? Then it is there you must seek and find him. Did you lose Christ by sin? You will find Christ in no other way but by giving up of the sin and seeking by the Holy Spirit to mortify the member in which the lust doth dwell. Did you lose Christ by neglecting the Scriptures? You must find Christ in the Scriptures. It is a true proverb, look for a thing where you dropped it, it is there. So look for Christ where you lost him, for he has not gone away. But it is hard work to go back for Christ. Bunyan tells us, the pilgrim found the piece of the road back to the Arbor of Ease, where he lost his roll, the hardest he had ever traveled. 20 miles onward is easier than to go 1 mile back for the lost evidence. Take care, then, when you find your master, to cling close to him. But how is it that you have lost him? One would have thought you would never have parted with such a precious friend, whose presence is so sweet, whose words are so comforting, and whose company is so dear to you. How is it you did not watch him every moment for fear of losing sight of him? Yet, since you have let him go, what a mercy that you are seeking him, even though you mournfully groan, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Go on seeking, for it is dangerous to be without thy Lord. Without Christ, you are like a sheep without its shepherd, like a tree without water at its roots, like a sere leaf in the tempest, not bound to the tree of life. With thine whole heart seek him, and he will be found of thee. Only give thyself thoroughly up to the search, and verily thou shalt yet discover him to thy joy and gladness.
I saw one
conscience. Savior died for me. My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think He died for me. A second look He gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for your ransom paid.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. Continuing a series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns continues on the theme, How to Think and Live as Christians. Again, the text is found in Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 14. Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing the importance of understanding what Paul is teaching in this chapter, for it is the secret of living a joyful, confident Christian life. In the first message on the subject, Dr. Cairns reminded us of the importance of recognizing what Christ has done through His death on the cross. Our assurance is grounded upon the perfection of what He did, and we lay hold of that by faith. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, all true Christian experience depends upon our union with Christ in His death and resurrection. This is what we are to reckon on or count on. And we are to live our lives in constant and continual reference to Christ. Now to continue the theme, How to Think and Live as Christians, here is Dr. Cairns.
We of all people, how shall we who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? There is this emphasis on we. That emphasis arises here again. And he's saying, likewise, Ye also, reckon yourselves. There's an emphasis on the people to whom he is speaking here. Think of who you are. Think of what you are. Think of what you know concerning your position in Christ. And he says, now, reckon on that. Notice the word likewise, or ye also. But think of this, and you'll see immediately that there's a direct and a definite correspondence between Christ's death and resurrection, what happened to him and those things, and what happens to us in our death and resurrection when we become united to him by faith. Think again of this, so also ye. What is he saying here? Take this context very carefully. Verse 10, in that Christ died. Remember what I said last week? The death that he died, what he died. What he's saying is, I want you to see the full impact, the full meaning of the death that he died. I want you to see the full meaning of the life that he lives. And he says, verse 10, in that he died unto sin once. Now verse 11, so also ye. You died unto sin once. Verse 10, Christ, we are told, liveth unto God. So also you, who died in Christ, you now live unto God. This is what he's saying. Now when you've got that in your mind, he says, reckon on this, count upon this. What is he telling us? He's saying, look, if you want to think like a Christian, if you want to act like a Christian, first and foremost, recognize what Christ has done. And then second, understanding what happened to him, that he died once and for all, that he lives never to die again. Grasp the spiritual reality that this establishes for every believer. What is that spiritual reality? Verse 11 spells it out, where he says, you reckon yourselves indeed to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Now the Authorized Version says, alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In actual fact, Paul said, alive unto God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is the first occurrence of this little phrase which is so popular with Paul, so much a favorite when he talks about in Christ. It's so popular with Paul that he makes that phrase the keynote of the whole epistle to the Ephesians, for example. He builds the entire epistle around that one phrase. In Christ. He does the same in Colossians. In Christ. This is its first occurrence in Paul's writing. There is something similar in chapter 3, verse 24, where we read that we have redemption in Christ. But here we learn it's not just the redemption that's in Christ, but we are in Christ. That's what he's saying. We are in Christ. Now he says, reckon yourselves indeed to be dead unto sin, to be alive unto God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon on this union with Christ. For this is the ultimate spiritual reality upon which all our experience must rest. Now let me repeat that. All true Christian experience rests on this reality, the reality of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, count on it. Now let me clear up a couple of misconceptions here. When he says reckon on this, this reckoning is not wishing. It's not make-believing. It's not trying to make yourself be something that you're not. It's not conjuring up some mystical, magical notion. We're not a version of Christian Science. Remember Mary Baker Eddy's great thesis, that God is spirit and God is all in all, therefore nothing is matter. There is no such thing as matter. So you bump your head on that, and there's no pain. Because first of all, there's no head. And second, there's no pulpit. There's no pain. Now, if you want to go down that road of stupidity, please go alone, for I'm not going there with you. We're not talking about that sort of crazy, making yourself think a lot of rubbish. We're talking about getting to the truth, grasping the truth, and thinking it through. Something else, let me make this clear, because this is something that most Christians don't really grasp. When he says, reckon yourselves to be dead, your reckoning doesn't make you dead. Now follow me carefully here. It's not the reckoning that makes you dead. Paul says, we who believe, we died with Christ. That's it. Over and done with. Finished once and for all. We died with Christ. Reckoning on it doesn't bring it to pass. It has already come to pass. Now, I'm emphasizing this because we're not called to try and create something that has already happened. I said last week, God never tells us in His Word that we are to crucify the old man. Never once. Why? Because the old man has already been crucified. That's over and done with. Similarly here, it's not the reckoning that makes you dead. It's your union with Christ that says you're dead with Him. Now he says, see the truth of it. See what you are. You know, I remember as a little fella, seeing Brian here reminds me of when we were little fellas. And when I was a little fella, I was about 10 years old, and I fell and I cut this thumb. Still got the scar to this day. And I had to go up to the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast, and in those days, all the boys wore short trousers. You didn't get into long trousers until you were 14. That's why our legs are so sturdy and strong and beautiful. I tell you, what a sight that was. But anyway, it was all right for me, for I was knee-high to a grasshopper. But when you saw some of these big fellows about 6 feet running around in short trousers, it was a sight to behold. But I was up there, and since this was around this area, I had to get a tetanus shot. Well, it was very easy. She just looked at my leg, half exposed anyway, took the trouser leg, pushed it back, rubbed the leg, and stuck the needle in. Well, I must be honest that it wasn't painful. I didn't feel anything much at all. And if I had, I'd still have gritted my teeth, kept my mouth shut, and I'd have been ashamed to make that nurse think that I was a coward. Sitting up beside me was a fellow. Now, to me, he was a man. Remember, I was 10, so he might have been 20, he might have been 40. I haven't a clue. He was a grown man. And he needed a tetanus shot. And she came to him, and she rubbed on whatever it was she rubbed on to numb the skin. And she took the needle, and I heard this yell. Ah! And she told him, would you shut up? I haven't even touched you with the needle yet. And she gave him a good bit of advice, which was, be a man. Be a man. Now, what did she mean by that? She didn't say suddenly, you've got to become a man. He was already a man. What she was telling him was, see what you are and live accordingly. Act accordingly. And that's what Paul is telling us here. See what you are. Understand your position. See that you died in Christ, that you rose again in Christ, that the old man is dead, that the old position in Adam is gone, that the new position in Christ is now a reality. See what you are and live accordingly. Reckoning is not bringing a truth into existence that doesn't already exist. Reckoning is not causing something to happen because you wish it to happen. Reckoning is recognizing what is already the situation and acting accordingly. Reckon on this union with Christ, for this is the ultimate spiritual reality, and on this real union our whole experience must rest. So understand what he's saying. We died unto sin once and for all. That's what Paul is saying. Now this is where, and I can't take time tonight, if you haven't been here, I'm afraid I cannot keep going back up the chapter to preach every verse again. Otherwise I'll fulfill Dr. Barrett's prophecy of taking a long, long, long time on this chapter. But this is where the definitions that I gave earlier in these studies in chapter 6 of Romans come into play. What it means to die unto sin. This is not what most people have been taught, where you somehow or other convince yourself that you don't feel any more temptation to sin, that you are as impervious to every approach of sin as a corpse is to feeling pain. It's not what it's saying. It's saying not that you're delivered from all contact with sin, not that you're delivered from all temptation to sin or all ability to sin. What it's saying is that you're delivered from the reign of sin and from the realm and from the tyranny of sin. You died unto sin once and for all. You satisfied God's justice and wrath in Jesus Christ. You have now passed out of condemnation unto acceptance with God. You are out of Adam. You're into Christ. You died unto sin once and for all. Having died unto sin, there's a new man now. So he says, we rose again, never to go back into death. This is one of those great passages on the security of the Christian, which is a theme that Paul is dealing with in this particular section of Romans. And he comes back to it again and again. The security of the Christian, as Christ died and rose again, never again to fall under the dominion of death. So when we died in Christ, we rose again in Christ. In other words, we came out of Adam, we're put into Christ, and thank God there's no falling out of Christ. That's what Paul is teaching us here. Death has no longer power to rule over us. And therefore, since death is the servant of sin, it's the result of sin, sin has no longer power to be the tyrant over us. We now live in the power of an immortal life unto God. What does it mean to live unto God? It means to live, obviously, with reference to God. That's something the ungodly don't do. They can never live with reference to God. The essence of sin is selfishness. The essence of sin is to replace God as the chief end of existence and to replace Him with self as the chief end of existence. Therefore, when repentance takes place and faith takes place and we enter into Christ, now we are living unto God. He is the chief end of our existence. This is what I was trying to make clear this morning. That to a born-again believer, to a true Christian, Christ must be all in all. We live with reference to God. You cannot set your life in compartments. This is my Christian life. This is my business life. And this is my secular life. And this is my life of relation with the world. There are so many people, and they want to live out their lives in all these ungodly ways, and then pay lip service to God and His Christ, say on the Sabbath day. You can't do that. He is all in all. This is the great reality of being saved. We live with reference unto God. We live with life that God has given us. Not only so, but we live as His subjects because He is our King. We have been introduced into His presence, as we saw studying Romans chapter 5. We have been introduced into His presence by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we stand accepted by Him because we're in union with Christ. So we live unto God in the power of immortal life, and we shall live. There's no end to that. Verse 8, there's no end to it. We shall live, not only now, but forever. In other words, we should reckon on the absolute security that we have in Christ. Now, when Paul says, reckon on these things, he says, I want you to reckon. You're in a world where you're struggling with sin. You're struggling with the opposition of the devil. You want to know how to think right, how to live right. Well, reckon, I died with Christ. Understand that. I rose again in the power of immortal life with Jesus Christ. I will never die again. I cannot revert under the power of sin and death. I live forever in absolute security in Jesus Christ. Can I suggest something to you? The trouble with most Christians is when they get into trouble in their lives, they stop thinking through the gospel. That's the big trouble. They're not thinking right. When you see Christians who are not living right, you may be absolutely certain you've got Christians who are not thinking right.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.